The benefits of physical activity are conclusive. Researchers have found that it's good for mind and body. It promotes self-esteem and can even sharpen concentration and boost academic performance. So why is PE getting short shrift in some elementary schools and middle schools? We'll explore that question and learn about the benefits of gym class on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Pam Massey is a professor at the University of Wisconsin-Fox Valley. She leads the Department of Health, Exercise, Science, and Athletics. Her expertise includes physical education in schools. She has degrees from UW-Oshkosh and UW-La Crosse, and she started her PE career in a public school. Pam, welcome to the program.
Good morning. Thank you.
Well, this 2016 survey from the Society of Health and Physical Educators found that in many states across the U.S., physical education is not a top priority. The study found that schools allow exemptions and waivers from PE classes, and that funding for gym class and exercise programs is an average of $764 each year. Is PE becoming less of a priority for schools?
Unfortunately, yes, PE is becoming less of a priority. We're seeing more of the focus, obviously, on the academic side. And a lot of that is related to a lot of standardized testing that's happening now. And so a lot of the focus within the classroom is to prepare these students for those tests. And unfortunately, like I said, PE is being cut as a result of that.
So is it just an issue of more testing, more standardized testing, more focus on what might be called sitting down learning or math and science and that? Or is there something else going on here?
I think that's the main issue right now. I think there's so many different traditional academic areas that the elementary, middle school, high school teachers have put on them. That there's just not enough time to get everything done in the day for these students. And so the teachers, unfortunately, take it away from the PE time in order to get those academic minutes in.
We've also been seeing reports that physical education majors at the undergraduate level are being phased out at some colleges and universities. The most recent one I read about, Ohio State, in over the next 4 years, phasing out its undergrad PE major. What do you make of that?
I think a lot of it's all related, just because there's not the need for PE teachers in a lot of the schools anymore. A lot of the classroom teachers, if they have some time, they're expected to do some of the traditional PE, which obviously they're not going to be able to do it the same as those that are trained as PE teachers. So these colleges, these universities just aren't seeing the need for teachers. So as a result, these programs are being phased out.
We've heard about this as a problem for high school students trying to cram in the right courses to build their resume for college and to get perhaps extra credits before college. Do you see PE being shuffled down the priority list in other grades, not just at the elementary school level?
Yes, and it's been like that at the high school for quite a while, too, because like you said, it is those students that are prepping for college to make sure they get the courses in or to have to retake classes to help to get their GPAs up. And again, PE is the one that gets cut. You don't always see a lot of requirements at the high school, and then when you get to college, you have some colleges that are cutting some of those requirements or very minimal as well. So it is the one area that people will cut, the schools will cut.
So what happens in middle school that makes it more difficult to get kids to gym class?
I think some of it is the academic side of it as well. Some of them, they may have the gym classes, but they may not participate in them. You know, you always have those students that don't like PE. They may have been turned off from it at the younger levels. So it's something that they either will take other classes to avoid the PE because they don't enjoy it, or they just don't have the time, the interest, and there's not the push there for them.
What do you see revolutionizing PE class? You're out there watching some of these units being put together, some, you know, perhaps some cutting edge material being presented to students. What do you see on the horizon and what's being led in classes right now?
I think a lot of those younger teachers that are coming out, the new generation, there is the push for the importance of physical activity and health. So you're looking at the students' overall health and wellness. The traditional, when a lot of people think of gym class, they think that old stereotype, just throwing a ball out, just going and playing a game and nothing real in-depth. And yet a lot of the schools now, the PE teachers, they do help incorporate some of those academic areas. They're able to bring in some spelling and some math to help the students. So it's not just the physical side of the student. They are making a well-rounded student with that. I think we also see a lot of technology that's coming into the PE classes as well. We've got all the activity trackers, how much those are going, and so many kids have them, or the schools can get them for them to help the students track and really become aware of their activity throughout the day. So I think a lot of those things can be done and are beneficial if given the chance.
Pam Massey is with us. She is a professor at UW Fox Valley, where she leads the Department of Health, Exercise, Science, and Athletics, having a conversation this hour about the place for PE class in schools. How important do you think physical education is in school? Where does it rank among AP classes? How about when you put it next to science or literature, perhaps drama or music? Tell us where you stand on PE at 800-642-1234. If you're a teacher, what is the role of PE class today? Do you see it going away in your school? Do you see a resurgence? 800-642-1234. You can tweet us at WPR Mornings. Pam, what do you think of the idea that school is a place for academic learning and that kids can get their physical activity on their own after school or on the weekends? Is that realistic?
I don't think it is. I think there's enough research that's been going on, especially really lately, showing the cognitive benefits from physical activity for people of all ages. You see it getting kids up, moving them around, helps increase the concentration, which in turn can help get some of those better test scores, whereas if you just have students sitting all day long, not moving, that's not good for anybody. So you want to try and incorporate that physical activity. It's also helping students learn at a younger age that they need to be physically active, and this is hopefully something that's going to continue on as they get older throughout their lifetime. You know, the physical activity, just like your math, your science, your reading, all of that are lifelong skills that everybody needs to have, and we need to teach them and show them the same importance at the younger ages and through the school and allow them those opportunities to get it in school, because not everybody is going to have chances on the weekends or be able to participate in extracurricular activities. So I think the schools are vital for allowing those opportunities to the students.
With the rise in obesity among young children, is that a rallying cry for promoting PE in schools today?
I think it needs to be. I think we see so many students, younger children, we see the overweight and obesity numbers rising. With that, we see the type 2 diabetes in younger kids rising. You know, so they're getting a lot of these health issues that we typically used to see in older adults. And it's getting younger and younger, unfortunately. And it's directly related to the lack of inactivity, not eating properly. And again, within PE, you can talk about nutrition. You can talk about what you need to be eating and what you should be doing to help prevent these things from happening.
What about the cognitive effects? Does the brain work differently when the body is active, when the body is in tuned?
Yeah, it's basically, think about it as kind of giving your brain a break from those traditional, the math, the science, all that things. It kind of needs to rejuvenate itself. So you get some physical activity, you get some of the different endorphins being released, and you let people move around and be active for a little bit. And then when you can go back and sit and focus on your reading, your math, some of those other academic areas, you're going to be able to retain that information better and be able to concentrate and focus on it so that you are able to learn the material.
The Youth Sport Trust is a charity nonprofit based in the United Kingdom and has new research out that shows 38% of teachers have seen a drop in secondary school PE over the last 5 years as a direct result of exam pressures on teenagers. We're talking about the place for PE with Professor Pam Massey. She heads up the Department of Health, Exercise, Science, and Athletics at UW Fox Valley. Getting your insights on PE and its place in the curriculum at 800-642-1234. How does it rank next to drama or music? Parents, do you want gym on the schedule for your elementary school child? What about for your teenager? Call in or tweet us at WPR Mornings. We'll return to the conversation in just a moment after a news update on the Ideas Network. The National Literacy Trust, that's a nonprofit based in London that promotes literacy, uses soccer, or football as they say across the pond, to encourage reluctant readers. We're learning about the place for physical education in schools on this hour of the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Good morning. High childhood obesity rates have compelled some school districts and educators to help students seek out physical activity they enjoy and to stay engaged in it long after they leave high school. Pam Massey stays with us. She's a professor at the UW Fox Valley, where she heads up the Department of Health, Exercise, Science, and Athletics. Her expertise includes physical education in schools. Getting your thoughts on PE at 800-642-1234. Did you love PE class or did you dread it? Maybe you're enrolled in physical education classes now. Why do you love it? What does it teach you? And if you're a PE teacher, what are some common misconceptions? 800-642-1234. You can send an email to ideas@wpr.org. Let's go to Tiffany now, who joins us from La Crosse. Hi, Tiffany.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
So I have a young child in elementary school right now, and, you know, I can say that PE class probably isn't even, you know, the top two favorite class, but it's something that's needed, and especially as a nation where we can see everybody struggling with obesity, and on the weekend, you know, it's like pulling teeth from a lion to get my kid off of her phone or tablet or away from the TV. We need physical education. It's not an option. How in the world is this okay?
Tiffany, thank you for the call. Pam Massey, you know, a very emotional discussion here, but Tiffany is saying PE is not the child's favorite class.
Right, and unfortunately, we find that with a lot of kids, and I think it all comes across on how the classes are structured, how they're offered, and then I think the main thing is what the students are getting from it. How do they feel about themselves in physical activity? A lot of times, if the class is structured so that everybody has to do the same thing, we know that kids have all different levels of abilities and interests, and we have to try and find different ways to allow children to kind of challenge themselves at their own level so that they're able to find some success so that they feel good about it. Because physical activity is one of those things that if I can't do something, well, I'm not going to try doing it, whether it's a sport, whether it's something fitness related. If I can't do it, I'm not going to like it. And we know, we see that in young kids, that they can get turned off from it very easily if they don't feel competent in doing something. So I think it's important as PE teachers that we create these courses to have the different modifications, different options for students within the class. It can all be within the same general topic, but just let them work at their own pace a little bit better so that they can see some success, so that they can see themselves increasing and improving and getting better. And then maybe they're going to want to continue doing this on their own, rather than just saying, no, I don't want to do it, I don't like it, I'm just going to sit and not do it. So I think that's key to for all students is to feel that success, so that they feel good about it, being good about being physically active.
Tiffany also brings up trying to pry away the child's eyes from a screen. What are the physical education classes, how can they change the way kids socialize with one another and getting the kids away from screens?
Being physically active and engaging in different activities, whether it be the specific games or sports or anything like that, I think that is key to helping students actually learn those communication and cooperation skills. We have that. It's important. You have to learn how to get along with other students. You have to learn how to compromise, figure out things, problem solving. So I think a lot of those can be key within the PE class as well, having students being able to work together and actually work on that socialization so that they learn how to do it, because there are so many kids that are on screens and everything is texting and computer and they have a hard time. They don't know those social skills. And so here's an area within the school that needs that. You need social skills. You need to be able to communicate with other people so that you can work towards a common goal.
Let's go to Eric now, who joins us from Kenosha. Hi, Eric.
Hi, this is Eric. Thanks for taking the call. I just want to affirm the importance of PE generally. I think that school districts need to tailor their program. We were lucky enough to raise our kids, and our kids are all grown now, but all of them are very athletic and still involved in sports as adults, and as well as just being very careful about their nutrition. So I think communities need to gear their PE programs for the community. We were lucky that we had all sorts of club sports available from anything that these kids wanted to be involved in at very competitive levels or not so competitive levels. Other districts maybe don't have that nearby for their kids, and they have to, I think, be more involved in getting athletic-type programs to be available. But most importantly, and one of the things the professor talked about, was nutrition. And I think one of the best things the school could do, maybe through a health/PE program, is get these kids aware of really how easy it is to have a bad diet, given all of the commercials and advertising that particularly goes into sugared beverages among more than anything. And when we were raising our kids, we just weren't quite as aware of that as we should have been. But now there's so much information out there that the schools could do great jobs in just helping kids with their diet, so that even if they can't get them all the team sports and exercises they want, it I think could make a big difference. That's my spiel.
Eric, thank you so much for calling in. Eric brings up a couple things there, Pam Massey. First to nutrition, your thoughts there?
I agree totally. I think nutrition is key. I think starting to teach the kids at the elementary level what they should be eating, what they could be eating, what they should not, or maybe not can't have something, but all in moderation. You know, how much should they be having? Helping them teach a balanced diet, what fuels their body, what helps them feel good, you know, because, again, diet is not just for the physical part of your body, it's for the intellectual as well. So looking at what these kids are eating for breakfast before they go to school, is it a lot of sugary cereals? How are they going to be thinking throughout the day? They have to have something that's going to last for them as well. So it's very key, very important that it is part of the whole physical health as well. But the nutrition also plays a role in the cognitive, which the schools are focusing on. So you would think that they would hopefully want to help with both areas there.
Eric also mentions that schools need to find a willing partner in community and youth sports and rec sports. Is there an opening there for teamwork?
I think there could be, and again, a lot of that is going to be access. But part of it, too, depending upon when they start some of these younger leagues, I know the YMCAs have different sports leagues, park and recreations, most of them have some sport leagues. So it's not just the school. So the communities do offer them. Sometimes it does come down to a matter of funding for schools, depending upon what income level families are at. So that does play a role. But part of it is also whether these kids want to get involved, because sometimes some of their first access to physical activity and sport is in school. So like I said before, if they get turned off from it, if they don't get some success, some of them may not be likely to want to join any of the athletic teams or want to continue in it. So somehow we have to make sure that we're giving all these students a positive experience with physical activity and PE class.
If you're just joining us, Pam Massey is here, a professor at the UW Fox Valley, where she leads the Department of Health, Exercise Science, and Athletics. We're having a conversation about the role of gym class, PE class, in the past, present, and future in schools, whether at the elementary school level, high school level. What is the role in your community, in your school? Join the conversation at 800-642-1234. What lessons did you take away from time that you spent in physical education classes? Do you remember an important takeaway? Did you discover an activity that you love and still do today? What is the role of PE when you stack it against drama or music or AP courses? 800-642-1234. You can tweet us at WPR Mornings. Pam Massey, you talk with a number of undergraduate students who are pursuing their education degrees. What are they seeing as their road ahead if they want to be a PE teacher?
Unfortunately, we're not seeing a lot of students going to PE anymore because of the struggles, and they see that it's not as important. But we still do stress. We try to encourage students to still take that path because we know the importance of it. And like I had mentioned earlier, how you can have bring some of those different academic areas into the PE class, we're stressing that as well to them. So it's trying to teach the overall fitness wellness, trying to teach these future teachers how to modify so that students can go at all different levels and be successful, how to bring in some of the different academic content into the PE class. So again, you're trying to teach these future teachers how to create and develop a well-rounded student with both the physical, intellectual, emotional, all of that. It's not just strictly your PE, your traditional PE class.
Let's bring in Jack now, who joins us from Milwaukee. Hi, Jack.
Hey, good morning, and good morning, Pam.
Good morning.
So a few comments, and I'll make some general statements. I think for the most part, my opinion is that there's really no place for PE in school at this point. I personally have very fond memories of like grade school PE, kickball, and things like that. But as adolescents move into the high school level, it just becomes, and again, my opinion, it becomes just viewed as a hassle and just something that people don't want to do. And think of all the time it takes to kind of get ready for PE and kind of get back to class, those types of things. I'm wondering if you've had any other insights or learned any other insights from other countries or best practices around the world in terms of kind of model PE programs, because I still feel that my kids are in their 20s now. When I look at the school lunches that they were kind of exposed to, we have PE during the day, but then we expose them to, like, horrible lunch options. So I guess all that in context, what are your thoughts on, like, maybe better best practices from around the world?
Jack, thank you so much. Pam, go ahead.
I agree with you. I think having students be involved in the physical activity and gym class and then looking at some of the lunch programs that are out there aren't the best. Like I had mentioned earlier, I think nutrition is key. If we're teaching it in the classes to the students, I think it would be great if school districts could try and offer better food options. I know that some school districts do. Again, a lot of it comes down to funding, what's available, what the income levels are at. So unfortunately, that does play a role in it. My hope would be that we'd be able to still teach the students what is important and what they could and should be doing in their life, whether it's related to the physical activity, the diet, things like that, that they're able to take from school and go home with. So they can incorporate those different
pieces of information regarding diet, physical activity for themselves at home, maybe try and encourage the family members and get everybody involved. You know, we can teach what we can at school. I agree totally that the school lunches, they should try and get healthier options out there. But again, like I said, a lot of that comes down to funding, so that's limited. Whereas with the teaching, getting the knowledge for these students, that's key.
Pam, have you seen the PE curriculum change through the generations, or are PE teachers still basically teaching the same things that they were in the 70s and 80s?
I think there's a combination of both. I think there's more of the focus onto the overall fitness. There is, you know, you still have your traditional fitness testing and things like that, but I think they're still trying to incorporate the movement, try and get more lifestyle activities involved. You have some where it's the team sports and the games and things like that. Again, because you're teaching the cooperation, the following directions, all those type of things with the socialization. But there is more of a key focus on these lifetime skills where they can maybe be individual activities where you don't need to be part of a team, and they're things that you can continue doing your whole lifetime. Because again, that's what we're trying to do, is teach the students the skills, the knowledge that they can carry on throughout their whole life.
Let's go to Dennis now in Racine. Hi, Dennis.
Hello, yes. I have these feelings about that, too. Now, one thing, it's bad for someone to sit 7 hours a day or 6 hours a day without moving. So as I got older, I realized you can't be doing that bad for your health. I got to start moving around more. Even physical education class, I had like 1 hour twice a week, was not nearly enough for that. It made it kind of clear to us that the things that really count are academics. That was a long time ago. Also, I dislike sports a lot because much of what was taught there was around some kind of team sport, touch football, maybe basketball, baseball, something like that. I didn't do well at any of those activities. What does team sports have for people who just don't like that kind of thing, rather not compete at all? I don't know what they have today, but after graduation high school, that's a long time ago, I didn't play any sports at all for the rest of my life.
Dennis, thank you so much for that. Pam Massey, if you're not a competitive person, what place does PE have for you?
I think anybody can be active. You don't have to do something that's competitive. You don't have to participate in team sports. Getting up and moving, like he mentioned, you know, if anybody's sitting for 7-8 hours a day, it's not good for anybody. You want to try and get up and move around, and everybody can walk for the most part, or have access to walking trails, or if they like to bicycle. You know, there's things like that. So it's not just, PE isn't just about the competitive and the team sports, which I think a lot of people have that thought because that's the way it used to be. You know, physical activity, gym class is getting up and moving. And if people can do that throughout the day and try and get that that behavior change and get used to that, that's something that they can do on their own when they get home, after school, after work, on the weekends. If you're able to have memberships to clubs and can go and use some different equipment there. So, again, you don't have to be competitive. Physical activity does not mean that you have to be involved in team sports. Physical activity is just getting up and moving and not being sedentary.
Over the next 4 years, Ohio State will be phasing out its physical education teacher education program due to what it calls evolving trends in education. Ohio State isn't the first university to cut its undergraduate physical education major. Other colleges are cutting their programs. We're trying to understand the place of PE class now and in the future with Professor Pam Massey. She leads the Department of Health, Exercise Science, and Athletics at UW-Fox Valley. Her expertise includes PE education in schools. You can join in the conversation about gym class, love it or leave it, 800-642-1234. Back after this news. More More than a dozen state legislatures considered new laws in 2016 that would increase the amount of physical education or recess schools are required to offer or raise the bar for qualifications for physical education teachers. That was according to a 2016 report by the Society for Health and Physical Educators. Florida and Rhode Island now mandate 20 minutes of recess time a day for elementary school students. We're talking about the place of gym class, past, present, and future on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. How important do you think PE class is in schools? Where does it rank among AP courses, for instance? How about when you put it next to science or literature? What about drama or music? Tell us where you stand on PE at 800-642-1234. UW Fox Valley Professor Pam Massey stays with us. She heads up the Department of Health, Exercise Science, and Athletics. Let's go to Ken now, who joins us from Black River Falls. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning. I think PE is very important. In my early 70s, I remember my phys ed classes very well. I wasn't nuts about it because I was not much of an athlete. Needed glasses and didn't know it. And that makes it a little hard to catch a ball. At any rate, the phys ed teacher that I had, Mr. Rossborough, who I can remember that to this day and I'm still in touch with, was a guy who gave kids confidence. And that didn't mean that you had to be a star athlete. They didn't care if you couldn't climb the rope all the way up to the rafters. But he encouraged people to do things that they were good at and to try things that they weren't good at. And that has a terrific effect on a kid to get encouragement from an adult who is an obviously good athlete and isn't mocking you because you're not. And today I look around and I see everybody using cell phones and everything else. They will have fabulously developed thumb muscles. That'll be great. However, until somebody invents the app that tells you to put the phone down and get off your duff and get out there and move around, it's going to be very difficult. It's just real easy to think you're doing something when you're not.
Ken, thank you so much. And Ken is still in touch with his PE teacher who instilled confidence. Pam Massey, what do you make of that?
I think that's great. I think he hit on some key points there, and I had mentioned that earlier, too. You want these students to try and feel good about themselves, and it's not about being the best or beating somebody else. And like I mentioned, it's not those competitive all-the-game things. It's trying to do what you can, still being able to challenge, and that's why we want to try and have some different levels, different modifications for all the students, because there are so many different levels within the classes, but put different options out there. Let the students pick what they think they can do and then give them the next level once they've succeeded at that. You know, make it small steps so that it's not all about just win or lose or who's the best. It's trying to be your best, and that's what's key. And I think it's great that he's still in touch and he hit on some other key points with getting up and moving and not being on the screen time so much. But I think if we teach and are able to get students to understand the importance in schools, they may be less likely to try and always stay on those screens when they're at home. You know, they're going to want to maybe get up and move around and try and play with some friends and do some pickup games or just moving around, like I said, getting on a bicycle, going for a walk, anything like that. And I think that it starts in the schools, teaching the kids the importance of getting up and moving.
Let's explore special education and PE for a moment. The Individuals with Disabilities Act says schools need to provide physical education to all students, including those who qualify for special ed. What strategies do PE teachers use to teach physical education to students with different abilities?
Again, like I said, it's just coming up with some of the different modifications. If they have the physical disabilities, there's still things that students can do to involve some type of movement. Depending on their specific disability, the teachers can modify things accordingly. If they have a problem walking or are wheelchair bound, there's things that they can still maybe do with the upper body. So if there's other injuries, limitations, teachers are trained in order to come up with some of these different modifications. Sometimes the students will have aids with them that can help them as well if the PE classroom class teacher doesn't have the time to do that, but they're still able to make up the modifications. So again, like I mentioned before with the last caller, it's modifications for everybody. Let the students do what they're able to do. So it's not just those students that are in special ed. It's for all the students in all the PE classes.
Pam, how much time should schools dedicate for their PE programs? What is realistic nowadays?
You know, that's a good question. It would be great if students could get 30 minutes of activity of PE at least three times a week. You know, if they could do it more, that would be ideal. Part of it, especially with the elementary, is the recess time. You know, sometimes if you don't have as much PE set aside, you can have recesses, but the same thing is being done with the PE classes being cut. We're seeing recesses being cut as well for those all those same reasons we talked about before. So if they're not getting the recess, they need to have the PE. And sometimes we only have it two times a week for maybe 25, 30 minutes. That's not enough for students. You know, kids should be active at least 60 minutes a day, moving around. And if they can get that at home, great. But like we said, a lot of times they're not getting it at home, so they should get it in the schools. And I don't think 30 minutes three times a week, which would be very minimal, would be too much to get in the schools.
Let's go to John now in Rib Lake. Hi, John.
I'm enjoying the conversation here this morning. I wanted to tell you this. I'm 67 years old. On Wisconsin Public Television, there's a program called Classical Stretch. And what this does, it reinforces a lot of the things that I did when I was in Phi Ed class, and I feel all the better for it. The stretching, the exercise, it's a half hour, it's 20 minutes a day. I think that with regard to what the guest just mentioned, you know, with getting some physical activity, getting out, getting moving around, it takes an entire village to raise a child. Those lessons, activities, those things that we do expect of our hope for our schools to do, we, the parents and grandparents, have to reinforce that. In other words, we, the grandparents and parents, have to get out there and show by example, get moving. My folks always did when I was a kid, and I think it works. Thank you.
Well, John, thank you so much for that. And Pam, you've spent 25 years in physical education. What's different about today than when you started?
I think the focus more towards the overall fitness, the wellness of individuals. Again, before it used to be a lot of just the games, the team sports, things like that, which some of the callers have mentioned before. And I think we're turning more towards the overall fitness, making sure that all students can succeed, learning what they can do for themselves on their own, because we have seen this change in the fitness, and we all realize the importance of fitness and being active. And because we have the obesity epidemic in these younger kids now, we have seen that kids just need to move. We need to teach them the importance of movement, getting out and being successful at it, feeling good about it, wanting to move, enjoying it, so that it's something that they can continue doing.
Let's go to John now in Madison. Hi, John.
Hi, I'm from Illinois. And in Illinois, we got an hour worth of PE. And it's real important to run every day, to do sit-ups and push-ups. And have art history, music.
So, history. Yeah, John is seeking a well-rounded curriculum. So what is the takeaway, Pam Massey, for parents and grandparents and kids, or even people who are adults with kids, when we think of physical education in our daily lives?
I think it's key. You watch the news, you read the newspaper, you hear all the different health concerns that are happening because of people being overweight and obese. You hear all the things about the different foods and nutrition, and learning to be active and getting those tools for the students on what they can be doing, what it takes, how long they should be doing it, I think those are key. I think having that within the schools, they have to learn it, because like some of the people have called in and said they have to see it, and sometimes the families, the parents, they're not showing it. They're not demonstrating or modeling for the students. So if we can get it in the schools, have them learn what they can do on their own, that's important. And I think those are the key takeaways. Again, somebody sitting for 7-8 hours a day isn't good. They need more of the breaks to move around, and like I mentioned earlier, to try and rejuvenate themselves. And again, the physical activity, it's shown that being active will help increase and improve some of the cognitive learning as well. So you're going to get benefits on both sides, the physical and the intellectual, along with the emotional, social, et cetera.
Do you see PE at all like a pendulum, that it will schools will draw back on it and squeeze it out and then reintroduce it, or realize that they really want it or need it?
I would hope so, and I've been waiting for that over the past 5-10 years as we've seen the drop in PE classes and the lack of importance that it's being shown. And I keep waiting, because we hear more and more the importance of physical activity and all the issues that are happening because of people being inactive, and we're not seeing that yet. So I can hope, we can all hope. You know, I know everybody in the PE field, we all feel the same way, along with other people. We all know the importance of fitness, and like a caller said, I think parents need to step up as well too, kind of demand it from the schools, have a little pushback on it. And they, like you said, it does take a village to teach. So I think if everybody could get on board with it and really truly believe all the benefits that everybody can get from physical activity, starting with our young kids, I think that's key.
And Pam Massey, as we close here, what did you love about being a PE teacher?
I think being able to see the students succeed and learn something, because sometimes, like I said before, that it's not those kids that are always competitive and like the team sports, but if they're given something, they're given a challenge, and they can see themselves succeed at it, and then they can keep growing on that and building on it, and then to really start enjoying the PE, you know, getting them to see that it's not a punishment and exercise isn't a bad thing. Being active is good, and having them actually like the class and coming to class.
Pam, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Pam Massey is a professor at the UW Fox Valley. She leads the Department of Health, Exercise Science, and Athletics. Her expertise includes physical education in schools. She has degrees from UW Oshkosh and UW La Crosse, and she started her PE career in a public school. This hour of the morning show is produced by Keely Boltina and Nyasia Ellison. Michelle Johnson is executive producer. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is the Ideas Network.